Beyond the headlines. This is World Insight.
Hello, I'm Tian Wei, and welcome to World Insight. Both China and Europe have rich history, enormous cultural traditions, and vibrant art scenes today. Traveling to each other's places, getting to know one another, could be the very starting point of starting a real conversation about cultures and beyond. Today, I'm following the trip of Dr. Abigail O'Brien, the president of the Royal Hibernian Academy of Arts and Artists from Ireland, while she is traveling in Beijing. Let's hear her stories together with her friends and their conversations, which is really about friendship, about cultural exchanges, and about something goes beyond words, that's going to the hearts. But I know, Abigail, this is your first time, so I really wonder, you know, in a complex world today, for women artists or women director of art institutions, how do you read the changes from your own perspective? Abigail, you go first.
Well, in my, most of my work comes from my experience. It all has an impact on my life, you know, but it's usually after the event that I would make, I would have a reflection on that and make work about that.
I mean, I agree with you, with so many dynamic changes around the world, creativity become increasingly vital, and artists are my sources of inspiration. And it's my mission and responsibility as a museum director to support artists and their artistic creations, and also my passion to support them as well.
For example, the show that you put on recently, would it reflect more the dynamism of today, or do you, you know, particularly intentionally selecting your themes and the kind of works that are being shown here?
Right, so we have three pillars in our curatorial program: contemporary art, art and design, and art and technology. So for example, last year we put on the fourth edition of our art and technology biennial called The Future of Today, To Your Eternity, curated by a female curator based in New York. And it's really a reflection on how AI impact our society and everyone, with, you know, like changing a lot of our lives. And so the artists create, actually half of them, more than half of them are female artists coming from all over the world. And they really reflect on how technology changed our life and how the warning about us to look at it in more rational sense.
I think it is through connection. I remember the first time when I met Abigail, we just had this instant
connection.
And it is so rare to be able to have that privilege to be so profoundly connected to somebody. I wouldn't say necessarily it's all women, but it's a very feminine, tender, deep, and daring, brave. We are responsible for our connections. We are responsible for our feelings.
What about from your home country? Since you are running this institution of 55 artists, the most well-known of your country, how are they looking at it?
It is quite a big debate in the country. Some people think that it'll be the next best thing. And I was talking to actually someone the other day who believes it's the next frontier, that human beings are going to disappear and AI will take over, okay? We had a piece of work in the Academy in last year's summer exhibition, and that caused quite a stir, because it was probably the first piece of AI that anyone had seen in the country, you know? So there was a fascination with it. And yes, it was a very interesting piece of work. It wouldn't have been in the exhibition otherwise. But it has a particular place, I think. It was quite an intellectual work.
Does that bring some kinds of detailed discussion about AI and how artists would function, how art will be created? What is the relationship between artists and technology? And what is the relationship between technology and many of the things we're experiencing today, geopolitics, economic changes, you know, social dynamism and things like that?
I'm over here, as you know, for 10 days, And one of the things I've been able to do is work with a 3D sculptor, you know, fabricator, okay? They can help with the tools that I need in order to complete the sculpture. Like, I'm going to be using stainless steel, okay? So this is a material that our 3D sculptors in Ireland can't use yet. They don't have the capability, okay?
What have you learned about their ways of using it?
Well, you see, I have a concept in my mind about how I see my piece, okay? And I'm using stainless steel because I want it to reflect the environment around it, okay? So they're just following my instructions, really.
But how is this related to the AI that you earlier discussed?
Well, I'm talking about technology, okay? AI, I suppose, is an extension of that, you know? To me, it's not something that I would be particularly interested in exploring, because I think, first of all, my work comes from here. It doesn't come from somewhere out there in the universe, you know? And I like to feel my work. I like to have my hands on it, you know?
But what about using it as a tool?
Well, we don't know yet, yeah. Do you know? Like, we're only speaking in hypotheses at the moment. We'll see what happens, but it's not something that I'm terribly excited about. Mm. That, for me, the AI tool is going to have a very detrimental effect on world matters, you know? As it is, technology has almost taken over the lives of small children, you know? And if you can, when you say you're a poet or a writer, if everything could be done by just putting it into a computer and spewing it back out, then the actual emotions of the writer will be lost.
Yeah, I agree with Abigail that AI is like a tool. So it's also kind of like a wing that whoever wears it decides how far or which way they're going with it. Mm-hmm. So with the AI technology, actually the technology incorporated in the art is not new. So since the 80s, 90s, Rauschenberg, you know, been using generative art or all kind of technology mm-hmm. creations with art. And so far we haven't seen really a true AI art that's really genius work.
No.
And I think, of course, you know, technology is changing and there's so much development and everything, and we cannot predict what's happening in the future. But I can see a lot of efficiency using AI to help a lot of artists to produce digital materials, mm-hmm. kind of to produce work that would in the past take hours and hours to make, videos, images, you know, like with all kinds of technology, and AI can do it in really a few seconds.
To me, everything is a poetic impulse. Mm-hmm. What I meant is that you must get to infra, the very bottom mm-hmm. of your feelings, emotions, and your very being. And in that, I think AI is very limited. I'm a heavy user of AI myself. Mm-hmm. I've created space, context, novels, films with AI. Mm-hmm. But I've come to conclude that there's one limitation of AI that is so obvious, that is the particles. There is only one kind of texture mm-hmm. of image we could generate mm-hmm. with AI. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because the particles of the screen is evenized. Therefore, we cannot produce anything that has complete different voice, density, texture, smell, mm-hmm. sensations. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, AI is even mm-hmm. because the particles must be even, unless we generate a kind of screen that varies in the even nature of the particles. Mm. But that is impossible because it will not vary according to emotions.
Abigail is here to more interact with the Chinese art scene. Yeah. I know you have a heavy workload every day, but you are so fascinated by it.
Oh, absolutely.
You even have a long list of names you want to read to us, who you met. But, you know, tell us, what have you learned from this trip?
I think what's really important is we have 2 ears, 2 eyes, and 1 mouth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So to look and to listen is vital when you come on a visit like this. And what has fascinated me is that there's a great crossover in our visual language, you know, in terms of the things that you express. I can read them immediately. Yes. I can't maybe understand.
It's almost like I was reading you as you were going. I remember at the very last, I was just holding you. Mm-hmm. It's very rare to have this kind of physical expression. Mm-hmm. And now that was art. Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating is that there's a huge crossover in terms of visual language between Chinese culture and Irish culture. I've been very impressed by your scale. It's much bigger than anything that I've ever seen in Ireland, for example. Here you need to have rollerblades to go around the museums. You know, you also seem to have a culture that really supports your artists, which is a wonderful thing. Now, there's similarities in terms of when I speak to women artists, they still have the same issues around the double jobbing, if you like, because most women artists have to take care of family, they have to be carers, they have to be, you know, involved in the housework, all that kind of stuff, right? So that time is an issue for them. So that would be exactly the same as for me in Ireland, you know, time poverty.
Bing Yi has some recently wonderful works, you know, that involve a lot of cultural understanding. For example, that of China's. Bing Yi, would you like to share your thoughts with us?
Okay, so when I was throwing ink bombs and flying the helicopter, in that stage, that was about 10 years ago, I thought of art as an explosion. 5 years ago, when I created the waterfall to regeneration waters in the mountains, I thought of art as being with nature. And this time, I created a Song Dynasty travel through 11th century, 12th century. I thought about art as time. But when Sandra and Abigail showed up in the gallery, I realized art is encounter, like today.
Jesse, I'm sure you also have a say in terms of you know, the cultural understanding and also learning and nurturing each other's culture.
Right. So the first psychology is each person is different, and everyone is individual is different, and also the culture is different, how we grew up in, the environment we grew up in, and also the lifestyle everyone chooses. So I think it's a lot about communication through their work and telling the story. And of course, as a museum institution, we help them to tell their story and build the context, and also communicate it with the visitors.
Abigail is also leading an artist institution.
Yes.
I'm sure when you go back home, your fellow colleagues are going to ask you what you have discovered.
I have a library of books to bring with me. Because everywhere we went, we were gifted these amazing catalogs, which is wonderful because the pictures will speak better than I could, yeah. You know. We imagine there's going to be a much greater difference than there is. You know, the themes are similar. The paint, you know, using oil paint or ink or printing, all those things are similar no matter where you are in the world. But we can learn in terms of perhaps how the mark making is done.
Have you learned some interesting examples through Bing Yi or others?
Well, just the use of ink, and it's Bing Yi uses an amazing technique, which is like pointillism. You remember that from, you know, little tiny dots to build up a picture. The whole thing of water on different papers, different surfaces, on silks, things like that.
And also, Bing Yi, you also have discovered Abigail's works. So to you, what about her as an artist?
or as someone who works with artists, that's his strongest to you?
As an artist, I think the very boundary of feeling and energy and frequency, whether you can be in sync with the other person, is critical to me. So we just looked at each other. I could feel her. She has this generosity in her understanding, mm-hmm. her willingness to go beyond the assumptions or the habits or the taught and given ideas. She's open. Her heart is widely open.
I'm very moved by that. By the way, is that important for an artist? How important it is? How to cultivate yourself so that you can open your heart?
When you're standing in front of a piece of art, right, a work of art, most people give the work of art 5 seconds. Now, that's very unfortunate because in 5 seconds, you know, you can take nothing in. So I go back to that point about slowing down, about taking time, about giving yourself permission. Because we live in this really, I mean, Beijing, everything is flying past you. And you see everybody on their phones, you know, there's so much kind of anxiety around the visual culture, I think, you know. And it would be wonderful to see people coming into an exhibition, as with Bing Li's work, right? And they just stand and observe, give themselves 5 minutes. What's 5 minutes, you know? And then you can start to absorb what it means to you, what the piece of work means to you. And you will have a photograph or something, I'm sure, to show the viewers. And maybe you could leave it on for 5 minutes and they could just take it in.
So Jesse, I guess that's a story you are very familiar with, right? As an art institution director, how to make sure your audience will tell themselves?
I think the Chinese art, contemporary art scene has grown like really quickly over the past, only the past 40 years. Mm-hmm. And I can really tell over the past 5 years, the visitors are becoming more and more sophisticated.
Yes, yes, you're
sophisticated.
Right.
So I think social media can be a good thing or and a bad thing. It's double-sided. So people like to share images of what they saw at the exhibitions or, you know, but it doesn't replace the real experience and you have to come in to see it.
Right, right. And sometimes you have to walk into that work.
Art is an all-immersive experience which almost removes the notion of space or time. Mm-hmm. Once you're deep in it, you become your total being, which deletes almost the relevance of the context. The reason why I said it is about the wave, the frequency, the energy, because in that very moment, you don't even realize where you are. And that's what we do for our audience.
Beautifully said. Abigail, you were also interacting with many Chinese artists during your trip. Give me some examples that you can duplicate for us right now.
Yes. Ling Chen Miao, okay.
I found a pioneering female Chinese artist.
I found
artist.
Her work to be really impressive. Mm. Beautiful work. She makes a lot of work with embroidery, which of course is a very strong time-based practice. And the pieces were huge as well. So I was wondering, how did she manage that? And she has assistants who help her, which again is something that goes right back in the history of art making, where the master had various people working with them. And she is the one, though, who always makes the final decision about whether something is right or wrong. She was describing the life of women in her work, which is very strong in the sort of thing that I am interested in. And
what do you mean by strong? Any points that hit you at the moment?
Just in terms of as women artists, you know, how we are valued is very important to me. In the past, the history of women was pretty much ignored. The only in terms of the Academy, for example, which I'm the president of, I am the first woman in 200 years to be president. That's amazing, you know. The art world was very strongly a boys' club, I think, in terms of the numbers of works that are collected of women artists. In many cases, there's far more men being collected than women. Women receive 25% less money for their works than men do. They have less exhibitions in general. In our academy, we now have gender balance, and that has been a theme that has been very strongly supported by both the men and the women in the academy over the last number of years.
Having said that, though, how can we know each other better? I really always wonder how art can help, if it is a necessity. I think it is a necessity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even if it just starts the conversation, it opens doors. In any country all over the world, you can sit down and start talking about art. We can disagree, we can agree to disagree, but we're in discussion, we're in conversation.
And that would make the others see the other aspects of us that they wouldn't see in the political or economic dialogue, isn't it, Bingyi?
I think it's about value. What do we value the most? We should value sincerity, open-hearted conversations. We should value honesty. We should value our time spent in the most precious way. Every single day, every minute, every hour we spend is actually valuable. And I'm hoping that I could spend, or anybody could spend, on things that they truly love and care about.
Right. I'm thinking about all your lives. You're an artist yourself, while at the same time, you're an influencer in China. I know women are very strict with ourselves. You know, we want to make everybody happy. But how do you try to do this? You know, you have so many different layers that you need to work on. How to make that happen?
Yeah, so there's two parts of my work. One is really trying to explore and understand and talk to the artists. And one side is to communicate that to the public. So really, it's the balance of both worlds that becomes really vital to me in my work.
And Bingyi?
Well, one would assume that if you're creative, if you're in power, people adapt to your needs. But that is totally wrong. It's quite the opposite. I have to, and we all have to, constantly adapt to other people's needs, to other people's understandings, to support. So now, here's the challenge, right? Once we keep adapting ourselves, to what extent we have to set the boundary and say, oh, that's it, I'm no longer adapting. So this need to adapt, like a beautiful lizard or like a beautiful butterfly, to fit in the flowers, is universally beautiful, but I think quite challenging. So my way to see this, or to say that, okay, I'm adapting to other people's needs, or I'm adapting to the environment, is to be creative. So I basically create sort of a context. So it's not the tools, it's not the expressions, it's not even the artwork, it's the context where people can come in and say, okay, here's my needs, or here are my needs. And I want them to be met. But meanwhile, before my needs are met, what can I do to help you?
I feel very privileged to be able to do what I do. I love being able to make artworks. I've been doing that since I was tiny, you know? And it's just second nature to me, so I can't imagine doing anything else. And I'm in the academy, it's an academy for artists. With artists, you're working all the time with your own tribe, if you like.
Indeed.
Yeah. So that's really important, and it's a great support. It's not so much a network in the context of today's idea of networks. You know that you're getting something. You're giving in terms of the network as a person in the academy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's a great conversation among artists, both from China and Ireland.
And that's all the time we have for today. I'm Tian Wei. On behalf of my team, thanks for being with us. Bye for now.